This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Welcome to the CIO House View Daily, bringing you the latest market developments and investment insights. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Friday, the 28th of August, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equity markets delivered a mixed performance. At the latest US close, the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq gained 0.7 and 1.4% respectively. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 rose 0.5%, while Switzerland's SMI fell 1.1%. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 gained 40 bips, while China's Shanghai Composite slipped 10 bips. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.165 US dollars, while the dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. The US 10-year treasury yield is unchanged at 4.68%. Brent crude is down 0.7% at $89 a barrel, while gold is 10 bips lower at $4,623 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now, let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments. That brings us to today's main topic. US Treasuries came under renewed pressure ahead of Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh's Jackson Hole speech today. Since Monday's close, the 30-year yield has risen 3 basis points to 5.2%, while the 10-year yield has moved 4 basis points higher to 4.68%. Investors will be watching closely for signals about the Fed's policy outlook, particularly as inflation remains elevated. The Core Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, the Fed's preferred measure of underlying inflation, rose 3.3% year over year in July. This was the eighth consecutive month in which inflation exceeded 3%, leaving it well above the central bank's 2% target. Our base case remains that incoming data should confirm inflation is gradually easing. This would allow the Fed to keep interest rates unchanged for the rest of this year before lower inflation opens the door to potential rate cuts in the first half of 2027. We think the Fed appears comfortable keeping rates modestly restrictive while monitoring whether inflation is broadening and becoming embedded in expectations. Even so, uncertainty over the exact path of interest rates is likely to remain elevated given Warsh's communication style, the ongoing war in the Middle East, and continued strength in AI investment. Warsh's less guided approach to monetary policy has increased policy uncertainty. Since taking office in May, he has attempted to move the Fed away from forward guidance on policy rates. The aim is to give policymakers greater flexibility to respond to real-time economic data and prevent them from being boxed into a corner on policy. However, this approach also makes the Fed's likely response to changing economic conditions harder to predict. That uncertainty has been reflected in the recent rise in long-dated yields as compensation for holding bonds over longer periods. Whether Warsh will use the Jackson Hole speech to reassure markets about the Fed's reaction function remains to be seen. Alongside that, Fed officials have highlighted concerns about inflation risks. While Warsh has offered limited guidance on the policy outlook, recent comments from other officials have underlined those risks. Kansas City Fed President Jeffrey Schmid said on Thursday that inflation remains stubborn and sticky, and that the Fed must continue finding ways to return it to 2%. He noted that the central bank's current policy rate did not appear sufficiently restrictive to slow inflation. Cleveland Fed President Beth Hammack expressed similar concerns and reiterated her willingness to raise rates to bring price pressures back under control. Chicago Fed President Austin Goolsbee also warned of sticky inflation, although he said rates could be lowered gradually if there were clear evidence that inflation was returning toward the 2% target. Geopolitical risks and AI investment could add to price pressures. Our base case is that disruptions to global energy supplies should remain limited as the US, Iran, and mediators continue working toward reopening the Strait of Hormuz. We expect oil prices to remain well below levels that could cause a major shock to global growth. The important caveat is that energy prices are still considerably higher than they were before the conflict. This means inflation may decline more slowly and unevenly than previously expected. Recent inflation data also showed tentative signs that stronger AI-related demand may be contributing to price pressures. Such demand-driven inflation is likely to concern policymakers. Against this backdrop, we continue to recommend that long-term investors keep diversification at the center of their portfolios. We believe resilient economic growth and robust earnings offer room for global equities to move higher. Meanwhile, steady Fed policy should see yields on shorter-dated bonds move lower, benefiting quality bonds with short to medium maturities. We also think exposure to gold and broad commodities can provide additional diversification. Turning now to another development that caught our attention, growth in bank lending to Eurozone companies and households accelerated in July, according to European Central Bank data released on Thursday. Loans to non-financial companies grew 4.4% from a year earlier, up from 4% in June. Lending to households increased 3.1%, compared with 3% the previous month. July was the first full month since the European Central Bank raised interest rates for the first time in nearly 3 years. The figures add to signs of firmer credit demand after a prolonged period of subdued economic activity. They also come as the Eurozone earnings recovery broadens, with financial companies benefiting from improving loan demand and capital markets activity. In our view, the pickup in lending supports our expectation that improving economic activity will increasingly feed through to European banks. We rate the sector as attractive, reflecting solid loan demand, a stable interest rate environment, resilient net interest income, and continued strength in fee and trading revenues. Second quarter results were also strong, with most banks exceeding expectations and earnings revisions remaining positive. Valuations still appear reasonable despite the improvement in profitability. The European financial sector is trading at around 11 times 2027 earnings and offering a dividend yield of about 5%, with additional support from share buybacks. Strong capital positions and still benign asset quality should help sustain shareholder distributions. Without taking a view on individual securities, we continue to favour European banks as a way to gain exposure to the region's broadening earnings cycle. Moving on to Japan, Tokyo's key inflation gauge accelerated for a third month in August. The consumer price index, excluding fresh food, rose 1.8% year over year, up from 1.7% in July. Data released on Friday showed that rents were the main driver of inflation, while costs for durable goods and consumer discretionary items also increased because of high import costs. We now expect the Bank of Japan to raise interest rates by a further 25 basis points in September, followed by two more increases, one in January and another in June next year, bringing the policy rate to 1.75%. Given current market expectations for faster and larger rate increases, along with concerns over fiscal spending and uncertainty in the Middle East, the 10-year Japanese government bond yield may rise further above 3%. In a constructive scenario, a sustained rise above 3% is also possible if AI-related investment raises Japan's potential economic growth and neutral interest rate. Still, our base case is for the 10-year Japanese government bond yield to stabilize at around 2.9% over the next 12 months, as we expect the authorities to remain mindful of the country's fiscal sustainability. The government also has several options to keep yields in check if upward pressure intensifies. Looking ahead to Monday, the 31st of August, we'll be on China's August Purchasing Managers Indices, Japan's August Consumer Confidence, and Germany's August Inflation. And that's it for today. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office, and we look forward to bringing you the latest update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/cio-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.